Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm really excited with today's guest. A lot of you might know him better as a goalie coach, the bearded GK coach. Wayne Brown, welcome, mate. Where did you get the name the bearded GK from?
I don't know.
It's obviously the way the world's working now with YouTube and social media. You were kind of one of the first goalie coaches to take it upon yourself and start that up, really. Like, they make saves over there and they proper get cheered as if it's a goal. But like here, we get booed because we've like stopped the game being fun.
Because I was only like 6 foot.
You had hair then, so 6'1".
Yeah. Bang. I'm like that. I'm skidding halfway down this gym, like crying my eyes out, winded. I'm like, can't even breathe. So I got released from Portsmouth. I was heartbroken, to be quite honest. My dad said, you need to go to trade and go non-league.
Yeah.
And about 2 seconds later, the ball's gone through my legs. I went to like trap it.
Yeah.
Gone under my legs, somebody scored.
No way.
And I'm thinking, what am I doing here? Yeah.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Yours, Mine, Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Today, I'm really excited with today's guest. I can't wait to pick his brains on his career and his coaching career. A lot of you might know him better as a goalie coach, the bearded GK coach. he's currently now working with England under-23 Lionesses. Wayne Brown, welcome, mate.
Welcome.
Where did you get the name the bearded GK from?
I don't know. It wasn't that, well, nothing to do with this bit. Do you know what? I thought about it. I thought, I'll try and do something about this. And then I obviously got a beard, and I like to think it's a decent beard.
And, strong beard.
Strong beard. And I just thought, I'll try it, film a couple of sessions, and it just went from there, really.
Yeah, so obviously the way the world's working now with YouTube and social media, you were kind of one of the first goalie coaches to take it upon yourself and start that up, really.
Yeah, I think one of the first professional ones, I suppose.
Yep.
You had like the modern day goalkeeper, them lot. But like actual professional goalkeeper coach, I just thought, give something a little bit back to like younger goalkeepers, younger goalkeeper coaches. And it just really took off. I was like, wow, went massive.
Obviously, you was at Oxford at the time. Yeah. A lot of your training sessions are like behind the scenes, but you'd have been filming them to analyse with your goalkeepers anyway. So it was kind 100%. Of, you was clipping them up and releasing them and showing like behind the scenes almost.
Yeah, it was the good, bad and the ugly, to be quite honest. And I said to the rest of the keepers, go, listen, this could work in your favour, it might not, but I'm not going to kill you on Instagram, but we could still reflect on it.
Yeah.
And it actually went well. I've probably had one or two messages where, oh, why are you doing that? Well, I'm like, bothered, mate.
Game's changing, though,
isn't it? I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
It goes, it is what it is. It's a professional goalkeeping session, edited.
Yep.
They might not have their proper technique, but every goalkeeper's different, aren't they?
Did any of your own goalies question it?
They probably battered me behind.
Yeah, probably. I was going to say, obviously, because you had like Eastie at the time and that, and when you're trying to concentrate on a Saturday's game, but obviously you're doing the filming and releasing the clips.
Yeah.
But it's never really a distraction because you're not going to make him look a cunt.
No, not at all.
Like, and it's not about that. It was more about showing other people what goes on in a professional environment.
It was more about the session.
Yeah.
Not about a goalkeeper. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, you can make, like, you get Eastie to make some outrageous saves or some outrageous like mistakes.
Yeah.
But it's just good or bad, is what happens in football. You've been in there, haven't you? You don't have a great session every week.
No, you can't.
And don't get me wrong, if somebody's having an absolute stinker, I'm not going to batter him all over that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll keep you out of it if you've had one. But the beauty of editing, you can make anybody look good, can't you?
You can, yeah.
So I remember,
no one's done that to me yet.
I was too old. I never had video. But we had Deck McCartland.
Yeah,
great guy, isn't he?
Deck's class, isn't he?
So he come and done a session with, with all the keepers. He was at Lynx at the time. And Jack was one of the keepers, wore Lynx gloves, and he had a stinker, by the way, honestly.
Did he?
It was awful. And
Jack did?
Jack Stevens did, not Deck.
Yeah.
Because they were filming him more than anything. So Jack was having it. And then I see these clips and I'm thinking, where's he pulled these things from? Honestly, it made him out to be like an absolute worldie. It's just good filming and all that as well. Like little saves. And he was brilliant how he did it.
Yeah.
So, and I just took down mine. I got a nice phone, got one of the analysts to film it sometimes if they're not there. But we wouldn't do it after Tuesday.
Yeah.
So you had to prep for the game properly, haven't you? So.
Were you doing any of the editing yourself then?
Yeah, all the editing,
Did you just self-taught yourself?
Yeah, I did,
That's amazing, really.
Amazing what a pub can do. I'd just sit there a couple of hours, might have a pint or something like that, just...
Yeah.
It's so easy to do these days, isn't it?
Yeah. There's so much equipment now.
Well, not even... I've just done it on the phone.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
Yeah. That was it. On the phone, a couple of apps.
Yeah.
And just...
Because you've got a massive social media profile, really, considering the goalkeeping communities.
It's a lot of them from like America more than anything.
That's what we have, a lot of interactions. We've got quite a big following in America and Australia.
Yeah,
but then I always say this, that goalkeepers abroad are thought of differently. We're villains in the UK.
Oh, mate.
But over there, they're like celebrated for being different or for, like, they make saves over there and they proper get cheered as if it's a goal. But like here, we get booed because we've like stopped the game being fun.
Or if you take a cross.
Yeah, exactly.
And you miss one before you get a ripple. Thanks for that.
Yeah, we get cheered, don't we?
Horrible, isn't it?
Yeah, but over there, it's not like that.
No, I know, Ruth. I think it's like that in every other country, bar England, you just get pasted, don't you?
Yeah, we are a villain. I always say that we're anti-football, though. Like, no one goes to a game to watch 0-0 and two goalies have a great game.
No, I'd hate it.
So it was boring, isn't it?
No,
so
it's like, disgusting.
We all want the goalies to let in goals, but as goalies ourselves, we hate letting in goals.
You take pride in keeping clean sheets, don't you? Or just having a quiet game sometimes,
that's
don't you?
Best.
Especially when you get older.
That's the best, isn't it?
Having a quiet... I used to love, when I was, like, coming to the end of my career, just thinking... Just get through this game. Just have a clean sheet like that.
I always say this now, right? I always love it when you don't have to talk about a goalie after a game. That should be like what we all strive for as a goalie. Yeah. No one mentions you. Everyone just goes, all right, well done.
You know,
and then just crack on again.
You know the guy's doing a decent job,
that's
don't
it,
you?
Yeah. Keep a quiet goal. But we're a bit old school for that. Like all this celebrating saves now.
I'd be fair. I'd celebrate a couple of saves.
Yeah,
I'd be I'm about to boost my career.
I've got a couple of quick fire questions I want to ask you now.
Go for it.
Right, catch or parry?
Catch.
Favourite goalie kit colour?
Goalie kit colour?
Yeah.
Oh, I got an absolute bastard at Oxford once. It's white, all white. And he was playing Bradford. And I remember Matt Duke goes, oh, that's nice. I was like, that, I'm in trouble here. Yeah. I had a stinker.
Oh, no.
But white. No, all black, all black.
All black, yeah.
Yeah.
Streamline. Yeah, yeah. Keep us nice and tidy, yeah. Play out from the back or kick it long?
Both.
Yeah, I have to say that now. With England and that.
Well, funny, we're speaking to Emily Ramsey when I was doing her clips. I go, listen, this is your career, not somebody else's career. So if you need to clear your lines, you clear your lines. Simple as that. And she's like, yeah, but the manager wants me to play. I go, I don't want you to play. If you've got two centre forwards running down at you, you want to thread a pass through. Fuck off, clean it out.
So back to basics, isn't it? Right, your favourite ever goalkeeper?
Oh. Bartez.
Yes, Fabian.
Peter Shilton.
Shilton, yeah.
And those three of them. Neville Southall, he used to train me.
Everyone says Neville.
Oh, mate, he is an animal.
Big beast, isn't he?
He scared the shit out of me, mate.
Did he, yeah?
Yeah.
His sessions brutal as well.
Yeah, they're hard.
Just proper hard work.
We had you've got the 18-yard box, you've got six-yard box as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
We had a ball on each corner. Fucking like, wasn't even pre-season. Go and sprint, pounce on that one, get back to the middle, pounce on that one. Like, I don't know how many corners it is. I was like, oh my goodness me.
The ball on every corner. Oh, wow. Yeah.
It was brutal.
Yeah.
And we had a senior goalkeeper at the time. I was young, so I was fairly fit. We had a lad called Ronnie St. Clair. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not fucking doing this.
The best stadium I've ever played at?
Oh. They'd be in Africa, to be fair.
Yeah, and when is that? South Africa, yeah.
Yeah, played in like World Cup final stadium.
Yeah, amazing.
The one in Cape Town, that's nice. Ellis Park.
Yeah.
Got a story about Ellis Park.
We had
to change grounds because of certain things.
So. No way, yeah. I was going to ask you about Super Sport later. Yeah. Right, two more then. Right, best keeper in the world right now.
Ooh. Blimey. Alisson, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got to be up there, isn't
he?
Yeah. Right?
And then I like the Tottenham guy. He's good.
Vicario's unbelievable. He's having an unbelievable season.
Yeah. Where's he come from, by the way?
They signed him for 17 mil, but he looks like one of the best signings ever now.
I like it.
Yeah, he's a good goalie.
Yeah.
Even the way he plays, though, you know, like he plays that high line.
Yeah, he's
makes some worldy saves. I've been buzzing off him, to be fair.
Yeah.
Right, it's the last minute of a game. You can either save a penalty to win or you can score a goal.
Ah, don't. What's that? I've always dreamt about scoring.
So have I. So have I.
But it's got to be a penalty, hasn't it?
You can't say that. I want to score. I'm desperate to score one goal.
I got
close once. I went up for a corner, headed it, and then I gave it. But I was on someone's back and fouled the line. It was a blatant foul as well.
Eastie, he said, he goes, oh, my career could have changed because he was at Anfield.
Yeah.
And he went up for running. He used to love going up for, like, last minute.
Yeah.
Like the slowest goalkeeper in the world, by the way.
He'll appreciate you saying
and
that.
And he span, the ball's bouncing, he span, and the keeper saved it just on line. He's gone like that, got his hand to it.
No way.
He goes, could have changed my career, that.
Yeah. Oh, that'd have been, scoring a goal, I dream
especially
about.
Especially at Anfield as well.
Yeah, that's incredible. Right, before I get started in your career then, you played over 500 games, which is just incredible, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. Right, but I always start with why goalkeeping? What made you be a goalkeeper?
Oh, I loved it. Just loved diving in mud.
Yeah.
From a kid, from 5-6 years of age, loved it. I don't know why, because my dad used to take me to watch Southampton, and he had some mental goalkeepers there. He had like John Burridge, Grobbelaar, Peter Shilton, and Tim Flowers. Just good goalkeepers, like world-class goalkeepers.
Yeah.
And I just loved it, just diving in mad.
Yeah.
So,
what was there a turning point? Was you an outfielder, or was you just?
No, I enjoyed playing outfield.
Yeah.
I played right back sometimes, but
just always had that flavour for that angle.
I went too bad with my feet, so I was probably 20 years. If I play now, I've probably had a decent career. Yeah. If I'm honest,
I always say that about me. I nearly signed for Crystal Palace as a centre half.
Really?
Yeah, but like at that time, I had a few clubs sniffing about me. Yeah. I wasn't sure. I was only ever playing in goal. It's weird to say because I always thought goalkeeping was my job, and I would play outfield for fun.
Yeah.
So then, like when I started going out on trials and that, I was playing like Croydon, Borough, I was playing Surrey County, but like as an outfielder.
Yeah.
And it was just, at that time, it was like my Sunday league team was, I was a goalie, but I'd getting scouted at different games. So like Sunday I was getting offered trials as a centre half and trials as a goalie.
Wow.
And then, yeah, the rest is history. And I just end up, I was like, right, I'm a goalie, but that's my job.
Could have been a multi-millionaire.
Could have been, yeah.
Instead of a millionaire.
Yeah. Oh, wished. Yeah. So, but, yeah, going back to like when you first started playing a goal, do you have early like memories or was it just like going down the park or was it school football? Or
I remember all the parents saying you're too small to be a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
All the time. And I was a midget, to be fair. I probably still am as a goalkeeper. But I don't know, it's just, even when I was nine, first memory is losing this cup final. I think playing for Southfield or something like that. Southall, I can't remember. And we lost. And they played Queen, We Are The Champions for the other team. And that stuck in my mind forever. Yeah, and I was thinking, that's, I don't like that.
Yeah. At nine, you knew
nine
that.
9 years old, and I was thinking, fuck. And for some reason, I had determination just to do my best. And
there wouldn't have been much goalie coaching at that time either.
We had a guy called Larry Clay, and you know what? Fair play to him. He probably made me what I am now, like, because I was only like 6 foot.
Yeah.
Well, I was only 6 foot.
You had hair then, so 6'1".
Yeah. Didn't have a lot, you know. And I think he made me into a tough goalkeeper. So, as you know, it was physical back then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So
training used to just be pendulum. Oh, people wouldn't know what pendulums are now.
Oh, mate, it's horrendous.
Just pure diving drills, just up, down.
When did we do one when I first joined Bristol City? We had the pole like just 2 yards past each post. Sprint, touch, dive, sprint, touch, the other part, dive for like a minute. Oh, you imagine doing that now?
Yeah, you can't do it now.
You get abused. Yeah. You get put on the list.
See, look, obviously, as I started to play more football than that, it was only until I went to Aberdeen and I had Jim Leighton as a goalie coach.
He's a hard taskmaster.
Oh, my God. But you'd like walk off a trainer, you'd have done 400 dives that day. Like, a sports scientist now would have like been murdering him.
Yeah.
But like, we would just be, it would be pendulums all day. But like, you'd do like collapsing ones, medium, high, and then you'd then go back and do half volley pendulums. And like, you'd be like, oh my God, we're just doing diving today.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Isn't it? But it got you fit.
It got us really fit, yeah.
I remember, so this guy called Larry Clay, he was at Portsmouth at the time. He used to, remember the wooden floors?
Yes.
And the gyms used to train on them. On the
crash mats.
Yeah, cool. Tiny mats. Mate, at the time I broke my wrists. He used to put a ball, so lie down, he goes, you need to be strong. If you're going 50-50, you've got to be strong, like that. So put a ball, I'm 10 years old, by the way, runs up, bang, follows this ball. The ball's like in by my stomach. And I'm like that, I'm skidding halfway down this gym, like crying my eyes out, winded. My dad said, just get up, hurry up, don't worry about it. I'm like, can't even breathe.
Mate. Just take the wind straight out of you.
He goes, you've got to be tough.
That's crazy, isn't it? Oh, yeah. But we used to throw our head and hands in to every challenge. Now it's all about the K block or spreading yourself. Like, it's like a dying art now, that diving at feet.
That K block, I just think it's giving it up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think?
People are doing it from all ranges now. Like, and shots at, they're not doing it from just close range to try and make a block. They're actually doing it from like 15, 20 yards now. And they're not getting
I don't get it.
Yeah, it baffles me as well.
Because you don't... area you're going to cover.
You're not.
It's ridiculous, isn't
you're it? Just covering your body to a bigger size, really, aren't you?
Like, and you look pathetic.
Yeah. It is weird.
I don't get it. I'll get it from here to the wall, yeah. Not a problem, but just go and smother it.
Yeah. So when was it you started to get scouted?
Probably 13, 14, I suppose. Yeah. I was always like a second choice keeper because I was like midget.
Yeah.
And skinny and goofy.
But you clearly had a passion for it that made you stick with it at that, because at that stage it's hard, it's easy to give it up almost. But you do it through adversity. Like you're saying, how tough the training made you, and that's what goalkeeping's kind of about, is about how tough you are and about you take the criticism but turn it into a positive.
Yeah, 100%. I just had the determination to do it.
Yeah.
What I had that many people have knocked me back.
Yeah.
Like clubs. And the same old reason, you're too small. You're too small. Oh, okay, right, too small. I'm thinking, when's it going to stop?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it went until I grew a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But you still say too small.
Yeah.
Like bigger clubs, further on in your career, you think,
Do you reckon that will ever change in goalkeeping?
Not in England.
Nah.
Abroad, it's not a problem.
It's not a thing.
Not a problem. You look at the Spanish keepers, what were they? 5'10", 5'11", 5'6",
yeah,
6 foot.
Yeah. Casillas is one of the world's best forever, weren't he?
No, yeah.
At 5'10".
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
And no one ever said anything about his height.
Absolutely. Even when he played in England.
Yeah.
It's no like playing Champions League. Nobody said battered an eyelid.
No, nothing.
But it's just the English mentality, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that? I think that's probably a bit of our playing style, how we are. It's changing now, but we're typically long ball football, get the ball in a box.
Yep.
So when you do have a smaller crosses. Goalkeeper and they just presume, well, he can't come for crosses. But usually the smaller ones got better timing and they can pick up the flight better.
And they've got better spring.
And they've got better spring because that's what they've had to work on and harness their skills because you play to your own super strengths, didn't you?
Yeah, like, definitely.
The small ones are the quickest around the goal, like a Hugo Lloris is so fast across his line. So he'll make unbelievable saves that the 6'6" goalie just can't.
Yeah.
But you play to your own strengths.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? So I used to play with Neil Cutler. Neil Cuts. He's doing so well for himself. And obviously, he's an absolute unit.
He's a big boy, isn't he?
So he would make saves. And I'm thinking, how are you getting to them? Like, but he's just had that massive stretch.
Yeah.
But then I've, like, vice versa, probably thinking, how am I making these saves?
Yep.
And, like, crossing-wise, we're probably about the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, I had good timing. He had just a massive
height,
presence.
Yeah.
But
it's perspective, though, then, from obviously anyone that's watching on, is how you deal with it. But you probably, like you're saying, came for exactly the same amount of crosses, but because he was tall, everyone went, because he's tall.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's a bit dodgy on crosses. You might miss one.
Yeah.
But I probably came for more.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, hey, sometimes you don't come for any.
That's it. Pick and choose, isn't it? Yeah. Well, obviously, I was doing my research on that, and it says that you were a bricklayer before you got scouted.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got released from Portsmouth at 16. I was heartbroken, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Same old, too small. And my dad said, you're going to need to get a trade and go non-league.
Yeah.
Fine, non-league. Become bricklayer. Well, didn't qualify as bricklayer. I moved on quickly, 6 months onto my bricklaying trade. And I was playing for Bachelor at the time.
Yeah.
And they put me into the first team, and you know what? I think it was like Conference South then.
What a learning curve, though.
Mate, I have never been kicked the shit out of so much in my life. Honestly, it was barbaric.
Yeah.
But made a world of me, by the way.
Yeah.
It made me, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But just for toughening up.
Yeah.
And then we played an FA Cup game. I think we played Cardiff, actually. Played Cardiff. And the Bristol City scouts there said, I'll come for a trial. And when the first day of Bristol City trial, Russell Osmond was watching youth. I was training with the youth team.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you best sign him to the youth team manager.
No way.
I was like, wow. And then about 3 months later, I played in the first team.
Played in the first team. I was reading that they bought you for $40,000.
Yeah.
It didn't take you long to obviously get your first game and that. But
well, it was by luck, as it always is, isn't it?
Always,
first game. So I think, do you remember a goalkeeper called Keith Welch?
Yes.
He is first team keeper, like super cash. And he had pleurisy. And the other goalkeeper, I'm trying to think of the other goalkeeper, Andy Leenan at the time, he was a reserve team keeper. And I think he turned around and said, oh, I don't want to play. He was coming like 40 years old, he's a big unit. Yeah, I don't want to play. So he goes, right, I'm going to play Brownie. I played a youth team game in the morning, by the way.
Yeah. In the morning?
Yeah.
So you played Saturday morning for the youth team and then played
straight into the game.
Wow. That can't happen, that.
It's ridiculous.
Not anymore, it can't.
No. So I played then, played against Peterborough. Couldn't believe it, like, beating 4-1.
See, like, having that taste of first-team football, obviously, even at Bashley and then Bristol, was you always just then hungry to get games after that? Because obviously playing over 500 games in your career now, it shows that you always chased games, and if you weren't, you'd get long runs in teams as well.
Yeah, definitely. I got the taste that day. And then next day we had another game. We had Andy Llewellyn's testimonial.
Yeah.
So I played in that. That was a bit of a stinker. And then we went off to Zimbabwe, played over there. Like, it's Zimbabwe national team, like 50,000 people.
Yeah.
Still like 16 years old, 17 years old. Thinking, what the hell's going on?
That's a hell of a transition to the building site, though, isn't it?
Honestly.
A couple of months before.
But all the builders, like, we're back there, and he goes, oh, you won't never make it like this. Fuck off, mate. I will. Don't Don't worry about
it. They're like the monk in your shoulder, though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but like, you still hear those voices.
You see him now, and you see him now, and he goes, oh, hey, you reap what you sow, don't you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it takes a lot of dedication to, obviously, the knockbacks in goalkeeping, especially. And
I think you get more than...
I would say.
In goalkeeping and outfield.
I will say this because obviously only one of us can play, but yeah. Also, you know, like you're sitting on the bench as a goalie, you're not coming on.
No.
Like one every 2 years you'll come on.
Very rarely.
But like an outfielder that's a right back or a right, they can play in four different positions and get the last 10 minutes and then they've got something to prove and like they can go on and impact a game where we're just sat there redundant or not getting that opportunity.
It's such a tough situation. We say it to our goalkeepers well when I was at Oxford. You go, listen, once the team's named, there's nothing you can do about it. There's no point moping about it. You just got to support the guy who's playing.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't get me wrong. Wish him well, but you might think, I fucking hope you have a bad game. Because we've all been there.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if he has a worldie, you just got
to pat him on the back and just crack on, don't you? Just go again next week.
As long as you're ready for when you get that call-up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the main thing.
That's the biggest thing. So, I always say that like... The amount of times you've sat on a bench or that and you're open, it's 4-3. Like, you win 4-3 and the goalie has three stings. And you're like, you don't want the team to lose because you're so vested in that team anyway and your teammates and your colleagues and that. You want to do well, but
100%.
You're also thinking, when's my opportunity? Or
that's it, and sometimes it never comes.
It doesn't,
You just got to take on your chin and move on, haven't you?
Yeah. And then you had a loan move to Western Supermare before signing for...
Western Supermare. First game, I remember getting first game. Got beat by the halfway line. We scored, and I remember celebrating. I thought, what am I doing? Celebrating down the other end.
Oh, did you go up and celebrate? Yeah, oh, no.
Typical naive young goalkeeper. And I've gone, celebrate, from 1-0 up. And I'm still getting back. They taking a quick kick off, bang. Put it in top corner from halfway line.
No way.
I was getting battered by the way, by the Seagull fans.
Yeah.
But learning to do stupid things.
Another learning curve. That's all it is.
But I enjoyed it. And, you know, like playing against men again. That's the main thing.
Yeah. And then obviously you went to Chester.
Yeah.
And had a really successful period there. 10 years you was there. You even got your testimonial.
Yeah. I was supposed to. It was, I've told this story before. Chef Wednesday were looking at me at the time as well. So the manager at the time, Weston, Lenny, said, well, you're going to have to take your pick.
Yeah.
For some reason, I know now, I want to be Chester because I think I've got a chance of playing games. Bearing in mind, if I was saying to my son now, what would you do, Dad?
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to Chef Wednesday.
Yeah, all the best there, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So you could just trickle down.
Yeah.
But I ended up, I think I played about just under 300 league games.
That's unbelievable, that. So,
and I had a fair few injuries as well, to be fair.
Yeah, I was reading about one of your concussions.
Oh, when was that?
Who did I read it with?
My missus thinks I've got to mention
that. I was reading about one of them, and it said that you got knocked out and you was on the pitch, but you'd already made three substitutes.
Oh, that was in the player final.
It's the player final one, yes.
Took one of the tooth out as well.
Yeah.
Oh, done. You know, when you're coming out, pouncing. So all I remember flying out, we was at Leicester's ground at the time, come out, and I just see this, one of our defenders, his kneecap just went bang like that, and I was done.
Was you out then, Joe?
I was completely out. And then I got up, and all I could, the physio's going, oh, you're right, spraying a bit of war on me.
You'd made three substitutions. There weren't no concussion rule there,
either. One of the players are going to go and goal. I'll be all right. But I couldn't remember the rest of it.
Could you not, yeah. I was reading the match report on that, and you end up making a really good save.
Yeah, I did top corner, apparently.
Yeah. I was reading it. I was going, there's no chance you remember it. Or, so I've been knocked out once, and the next dive I did, I then got re-concussed because, obviously my brain was shaking in my head. And I was thinking, once I was reading this bit about you made a worldy save and that in extra time, I was like...
But even, we had a big party afterwards because we got promoted. It was... couldn't remember that. Just felt sick.
Yeah.
Still... had a few more
beers. Still had a couple of beers. I think it'll make you better.
Yeah, because the physio said it's all right.
Yeah.
So you didn't think nothing of it, but you wouldn't be able to do it now, would you?
No, not at all. Yeah. With the protocols that we've got in place for concussions and that now.
I remember we were playing when I joined Oxford, and a lad called James Constable, he's about 4 yards away, and he walloped this ball, mate. And I didn't even have time to get my hands up, and he just caught me right in the eye. and I've still got a little jagged line across my eye now, like looking, I was out for the count. And they let me drive home and everything like that.
That's bad, that.
I was in a bad way.
Yeah.
I'm like, say to him now, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
4 yards. And he just goes blasted. He goes, well, I can't pass it in, can I? I've just got to smash it. Cheers, mate.
The amount of stories that you hear about that, like goalies getting injured from like rebounds where the strikers just whack it for no reason.
Yeah. And same, Bristol City, we're playing QPR reserves. It's just, goalkeeping's stupid, isn't it? Really? You think about it. We just love getting hit by the ball.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, we actually love that feeling of getting hit and everyone going, oh, that should hurt. And as a goalie, you just bounce back up and you're like, no, I'm not hurt. Don't rub it.
So I've gone, like, spreading myself across the line. Bradley Allen's come flying in. And for some reason, I just put my head there.
Yeah.
And he literally followed my head off with the ball. And I've gone. So no wonder I can't remember many things.
You probably have had too many concussions mentioning it now.
Yeah. But just stupid stuff like that.
Yeah.
Our manager goes, why do you do that? I goes, well, you want to keep the ball out of the net, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, that's just ridiculous. In reserve game.
Blaming you for it.
Yeah.
See, that's what's weird. I don't get that. Anyway, right, back to the Chester and the testimonial then. 10 years at a club doesn't really happen a lot anymore.
No.
Did you realise at the time how big of an achievement it was, or was it just you're just cracking on with your career and you just think, oh, it's another game?
Not really. It was just, you just kept ploughing through the games, don't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was a bit of a crisis club, Chester, so I didn't expect anything like that. But when they said you could have it, and then they gave me a 3-year deal, I'm like, wow, that's fair play.
Yeah.
And then when I come back after pre-season, they wanted to get rid of me.
Yeah, typical, isn't it?
But it is what it is, wasn't it? But no, it was lovely for my family for like having a testimony and supports.
Really. Nice day out.
Golf days and all that. So you do great. So.
Yeah.
So my wife done really well out of it. Ex-wife, sorry.
Yeah, that's a different story.
No, she's good at golf.
Yeah. And then I was reading about your next club, but you got the nickname Superman.
Yeah, yeah. So I went on loan from there to Hereford.
Yeah.
Always, you know, you must get this. You know when you play against a club and you always do all right against them.
There's always one or two clubs that do well against, isn't there?
So mine was Hereford and Plymouth.
Right.
Always loved playing against Plymouth and always loved playing against Hereford. And you just knew you're going to be invincible every time you play. And so, lo and behold, I rung him up because we sat in the director's room with Chester, with all the Liverpudlians, and they said, you've got to go. I went, well, I've got 3 years left. And he goes, listen, you've got to go. So I'm like thinking, all right, I've got to go.
Yeah.
I rung Graham Turner up, because do you need a lone goalkeeper? And he went, yeah.
Did it all yourself,
see
then?
You tomorrow, yeah.
See, like now, obviously, like with the world of agents, now, or you being a goalie coach at Oxford, you must have dealt with a lot.
Yeah, well, agents, yeah, you get some good and bad ones, don't you?
Yeah,
I've been with some bad ones. I think, blimey, horrendous.
Yeah, but goalkeepers are so different anyway that you kind of need a goalkeeper to understand a goalkeeper.
I think, that's why I think Rich is doing a good job.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job.
He's pretty much got everybody now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Yeah, there's a few other people that are trying it, obviously. I think Scott Dutton.
Yes, that's right,
I think, obviously, Matt Murray as well, and Mark Bunn.
Oh, is he doing it?
Yeah, Mark Bunn's an agent now. So, like, there's a few that are trying it and that. But, like, Rich has covered all bases, really. He's got every goalie, and when he moves one out, he moves the next one in.
Well, it's like a little jigsaw, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's clever how he does it.
Yeah, it is really clever.
I'm just trying get him to get me to Saudi Arabia.
Get you a club in Saudi, yeah. There's a few people that have gone out there. Rousey's gone out there, hasn't he?
He's in
Dubai, yeah.
Amazing.
There's a few others that are obviously making the move and that.
Yeah, I'd love to do it. Something different.
It'd just be an experience for a year or two, wouldn't it? Like,
yeah. Well, when I went to South Africa, it was some experience.
Yeah.
Like, just playing in the stadiums.
Yeah. Oh, we'll get onto that now then. So obviously the back end, after Hereford and that, you went to Bury and then you end up out in South Africa, didn't you?
Yeah.
But how did that come about?
So I was at Bury. We was in my first year of the contract. We were doing well. I think we were top of the league at the time. My next door neighbour is working for Bolton or something like that. I can't remember. But say Bolton, he used to organise all the salsa nights in the bar down below.
Right.
So he goes, coming out for a beer. I go, yeah, I'll come out. and it's Benny McCarthy.
Yeah.
His brother is good mates with Malcolm, this guy.
What a legend he was as well, Benny McCarthy.
Benny, yeah.
You don't realise how big a legend he is over there.
Over there,
oh,
I bet.
Oh, my goodness me. Yeah, he just runs the show. He goes, oh, do you ever thought about coming to South Africa? No, not really, mate. I'm totally didn't even entertain it, just carried on having a few drinks, had a good laugh with Jerome. Year to the day later, I'm coming to the end of my contract thinking, oh, I've had my time at Berry. There's been a few things where I think, getting abused by the ambulance woman. And he goes, oh, went for another drink, same thing. What do you fancy? Do you fancy doing it? Oh, yeah, why not? So I went over on trial. We had a Barcelona goalkeeper, a 21 Barcelona keeper, a Scottish keeper as well. He was a good guy. I can't remember his name now. But a Barcelona keeper, he was epic. Like, and I'm thinking I'm in trouble here.
Yeah.
Like, coming from Bury. First day, got off the plane. We had to do 12 laps of this running track.
Yeah.
Mate, it was like 95 degrees.
Yeah, in the heat.
And I can't run on the best of days. and these guys are like, just flying through. The keepers were flying through. And I'm thinking, I'm in trouble. Ring my missus. I'm coming home. I've had enough of this. Like, 2 days in, had enough. She goes, you've got to see it out. It's 10 days. You can't just leave 2 days. So I carried it through. Started to enjoy it a little bit. And then we had a night out with a couple of people who was in the hotel. That was good fun. They just joined the World Cup. South Africa.
In South Africa, yeah.
So it was class. And then for some reason, something clicked. I went, oh, I quite fancy this. And then manager said, oh, I want to sign you.
No way, yeah, yeah.
So like, and
did you say I'm not doing the running ever again?
It was barbaric, the running, by the way. But you know, when I did sign, they were so far in advance of like S&C than I've ever seen in my life.
No way,
honest to God, because they had like the rugby coaches who come over to the England, come over to the football, and all the I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah,
so. We had a goalkeeper coach, actually, first session. He just started, oh, you need to warm up your fingers. I'm standing in the middle of the pitch.
No way.
Warming my fingers up and thinking, what am I doing here?
That's bizarre. It seemed like, how old was you at the time then?
I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then to be getting told to warm up your fingers
warm
before training.
Fingers. Yeah, warm up your fingers. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. It's just bizarre, the different methods.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Either way, I like... Liked him, he's a good guy.
But it must have been a hell of an experience then.
It was class. It, for so many different reasons, other than football, there was, you know, South Africa's got their problems with racism and all that.
Yep.
And that's both ways as well.
Yep.
So going back to, you remember I told you about changing the stadium.
Yeah.
So they have witch doctors over there, each club have witch doctors. So we're sharing... stadium with Mamelodi Sundowns, like a big club. Well, we were a big club till I joined. And then I saw this bloke, he's doing something on the 18-yard box, like just in front of the penalty spot. I said to the manager, Gavin, what's that all about? Oh, he's a witch doctor, he's preparing the pitch, so good feelings and all that. Mate, I made 3 mistakes on that exact spot.
No way.
Honestly, like catastrophic mistakes. What, like one going through my legs, dropping balls, dropping crosses. Honest, and I'm thinking, what the hell's going on there? So I've got this, they call it muti, and I've got this muti in my head.
Yeah.
So the manager goes, right, Brownie, I need a meeting with you. We're going to change stadiums. Really? You can't change stadiums just because of me. I was expecting you to drop it.
Yeah.
Drop me. So we moved to Ellis Park.
No way.
Ended up...
Do you genuinely think that like they had done something that day? Or is it just a coincidence?
Well, apparently the witch doctor was from the Sundowns team.
Right, okay.
So, yeah, and he sprayed that spot for some... I don't know how they did.
Yeah.
But it done me over.
Even if it just plays with your head, even like just
honestly,
talking about it. Like,
we were playing up. We were, yeah, I still remember to the day. I've got a few things with Africa. We were playing Ajax, and honestly, God, it was a... decent side crowd, I don't know, maybe 15, 20,000 people. And there's a big open stadium. And big crack of thunder's come down. I'm like, oh, that's nasty, that one.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the whole stadium evacuated.
No way.
And this big rain cloud came over. It's like somebody chucking a bucket over you.
Yeah.
And about 2 seconds later, I've the ball's gone through my legs. I went to like trap it,
yeah,
gone under my legs, somebody scored.
No way.
And I'm thinking, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
And they purposely got me to do a press conference afterwards. So I'm standing there dripping wet, thinking, I'm having one over here, by the way. Thinking, I just went, listen, I let down my family, my players, all the fans and all that. And because they were coming for me before that for a while, because I took a African's job.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. Like that, the whole, not the whole nation, but the nation turned, goes, oh, he's actually quite a good guy.
No way.
Yeah.
It was just that one press conference that then, like a flick of a switch.
Yeah, and ever since then, I didn't play many more games because I did my back in, but the relationships with the players and people inside Africa, like in Africa, was just completely different.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We did make him change stadium, so.
Yeah.
It's probably why they held
that. Not many keepers can do that.
No, wow. I've never made 3 mistakes in a game and had to move stadiums.
To a nice stadium.
To a really nice stadium, yeah.
Some stadium.
Yeah. So was you out there then for the World Cup then?
Yeah.
Oh, that must be an incredible atmosphere. Because obviously you'd have had all the fans out there.
So the night out, remember the Ghana game, Ghana-Uruguay?
Yes.
Remember Suarez?
Yes.
So I was in this park watching the game. And obviously, Ghana being African, everybody's supporting them. My goodness me. When that Suarez saved you at his end, he missed a penalty, didn't he? That was...
Close to rioting,
I had to get out of there quick, Because we're going to the hotel.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but
there must have been times that, obviously, you lived a little bit in fear because of the country anyway.
Yeah, definitely. We had... So, awful story. Our right back got murdered in his house just over something stupid.
No way. Like
intruders, yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, bloody hell. So, even like, I brought my girlfriend over at the time and... they got robots. You ever heard of robots?
No.
They're traffic lights.
Right, okay.
So when you get to traffic lights, they say there's a massive sign, hijacking high spot. So I've picked her up from the airport. I'm thinking, please don't look up there. She goes, what's that? I went, what? What are you on about? She goes, that massive sign saying hijacking high spot. Oh, and that's just to look after yourself and all that. But we've been taught to drive certain ways over there by the English consulate.
But like leave a gap in front of you so you can
cars,
get away.
Two cars. Keep engine going. And all
make
that.
Sure all windows are locked, everything.
Never open your window.
Never open your windows, cars are locked.
Yeah. But I never saw anything.
I heard about like you leave a big gap in front of you.
Yeah, so that, just so you bang, go.
So you can get on the gas and go.
Yeah.
Did anything like that ever happen?
Not to me.
Yeah.
Not to me. We had loads of police pull me over.
Yeah.
Most of them are hammered as well, to be
fair. Yeah.
Like, we got told by the manager, go, listen, you're gonna be sponsored by Adidas or whatever, Under Armour. Keep some boots in your boot.
Just in case you need them for...
So I'm like, we've gone out, me and my girlfriend at the time, driving back and there's a roadblock. And I'm thinking, oh no, this isn't good. And this bloke's come over and we had to have our ID in our car. He's walked over and he was steaming, this copper, by the way. Oh, mate, it's like a proper good night out for him. He's come over, he goes, oh, Mr. Brown, like this. I'm thinking, oh. And he got me out of the car, pinned me against the car. He goes, what have you got for me? What have you got for me? I went, I don't know. What have I got for you? I'm thinking, he goes, you've been drinking, I'm like, no, I haven't been drinking. Missy gets out of the car, rings one of the players. She's bawling her eyes out. He goes, what shall I do? He goes, have you got any boots in your car? I go, yes. Like, they said to keep some in there. She opened the boot. I goes, oh, do you want these? And they, oh, thank you, Mr. Brown.
And that was it.
And just walked off.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, wow. So we were like very quiet drive home.
Yeah,
my missus thinking
no one spoke.
What's going on here?
Yeah. Come on, Bennett. You must have been looking at flights that night to go home. See that stuff like scared the life out of you. That
it was horrendous.
Yeah,
I actually thought I'm going to be sharing a cell with Oscar.
Oh gosh, he's out now.
I know, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, he's out now. Right, anyway, I'm going to crack on with goalie or no goalie, Chris.
Oh, goodness.
I was briefing you before. So I've got five current international goalkeepers.
Okay.
And five made-up names or famous people from around the world.
I'm all for this.
Yes, yeah, so it's 1 point for each correct answer. You can follow along our leaderboard on YouTube. Right, you ready?
So it's got
goalie or no goalie.
Okay.
Number one, Liam Kelly.
No.
Liam Kelly is a goalkeeper for Scotland and Motherwell.
Oh, he played for QPR.
Yes.
Yeah. We actually looked to sign him, actually. That's my bad.
He's a good goalie. He's doing really well for Motherwell. Right, number two, Jacob Zetterstrom. Zetterstrom.
International goalkeeper. No.
No? No goalie?
Got it all wrong, haven't I?
He is the Swedish goalkeeper from your garden.
Wow.
Not for two so far. Come on, Wayne.
Doing all right.
Yeah. Number three.
I've been out of the game for a while.
Number three, Jake Sully.
Jake Sully.
Jake Sully.
No.
He is not a goalkeeper. He is from Avatar.
Ah.
The main character from Avatar. Right. Number four, Alexei Pajitnov. Pajitnov.
I'm going to say yes.
He is not a goalkeeper. He's the inventor of the game Tetris.
Is he?
Sounds like a goalie, though, doesn't he?
Alexei Pajitnov. Dynamo.
Yeah. What a great name. Yeah, he invented Tetris.
I've watched that the other day as well.
Have you watched the film?
Yeah.
It's the highest grossing game ever.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Mad. And did you watch the film?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like the Russian government try and take the game.
Yeah,
because you're not allowed
to
make profit.
Right, yeah.
Incredible. Right, number five. John Tolkien.
No.
He is not a goalkeeper. He is the author of Lord of the Rings.
Ah, I knew that. No, I didn't.
No. Just knew it weren't a goalie.
Ah, no.
Right. Number six, Georgi Lauria.
Yes.
He is a goalkeeper. He is the goalkeeper for Georgia and Dinamo Tbilisi. Dinamo Tbilisi. I'm guessing that's how you pronounce it. Come on, you're on a roll now. Number seven. Harry Crosby.
No. No?
No goalie? No, he is not a goalkeeper. He is Bing Crosby. It's actually in the Guinness Book of Records for the highest ever single sales from the Christmas song. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby.
Number eight, Christian Lopez.
He sounds like a goalkeeper.
He is a goalkeeper. He is the Gibraltar goalkeeper. I'm on a roll now.
Where have you pulled E from, by the way?
Yeah, I could literally go on the previous games, and if they've started or was a sub goalie,
yeah,
that's where I'll pull them from. So like, they're all current goalkeepers.
I was on the train on the way out thinking, oh no, he's going to ask me about goalkeepers.
Yeah, yeah. It's only this bit that I ask you about. Right. Number nine, Gene Kernan.
Yes.
Not a goalkeeper. They were actually the last person to walk on the moon.
Oh, should really know that.
I wouldn't have known that.
My son loves space.
Oh, does he? Yeah. Nice.
He'd be fuming.
Right, and number 10, Alexander Golovin.
Yes.
He is a goalkeeper. He's a Russia and Monaco goalkeeper. 6 out of 10's not bad.
That's all right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bad start.
Terrible.
Terrible start. You're happy with 6 out of 10.
Take that.
Right, I want to crack straight into the retirement side going into coaching.
Yes, go for it.
When did you know that that was, you was about going to retire and that coaching was the right route for you?
In my head, mentally, was that Fleetwood away.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go there, do
they? I don't live far from there.
Do you? No. Well, I'm just playing there. And I just really despise playing at Fleetwood every time because I had a stinker.
It's always windy. It's a small, tight pitch.
Tuesday night, it was boggy. They were physical. And I was like thinking, I didn't fancy this.
Yeah.
And I was stood on the six yard line, and this one of our defenders cleared the ball out of the box. Hits the back of the shoulder of one of their forwards, went top bins. And I'm standing there, I'm wearing white kit Fleetwood.
Nice,
horrendous. And I'm just sat there, hands on my hips, and I'm thinking, that's me done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Completely, mentally tapped out
of
playing in goal ever since. And got through the game. We lost 3-0 or something like that. And you know, and just think, I cannot stand I've hated every minute of that.
Yeah.
And I've walked out, I spoke to Chris Wilder, here in Uruguay, I went, yeah, I think I'm done on that one. So, and then I played a few more games, and yeah, I finished when I was about 39, but it was...
Do you think being that open with him then helped you to transition?
Well, I was doing like, I just started doing a dual role, so goalkeeping, yeah, coach. And have you ever, you haven't been in coaching yet, have you?
No, not yet.
It's the hardest thing to do in the world because you neglect yourself.
Yep.
And you got to think about the first team goalkeeper because you know you're going to be, I came to Oxford as number two. My body was battered. How I got through medical was ridiculous. Couldn't move, mate. So,
I love how honest it is. Yeah.
Look, it's true, though. Yeah. Honestly, I couldn't even, my knee, I could only get to about there.
Oh, no.
It was, and I go, Chris, oh, no, it'll be fine.
It'll be all right. It'll be all right for a few games.
And then I had an operation and all that. And I'm like, so I was doing the dual role with Ryan Clark. You remember Ryan Clark?
Yes.
Good goalkeeper. Good lad. And we were good friends at the time and I was just thinking, if I get called up, this causes a few problems with my friend here.
Yep.
He knows I come in as number two. Now, Alan Hodgkinson passed away, bless him. I've had to take over from him, which probably a little bit too soon because I wasn't really prepared for it. And now I've got this situation now where my head's gone. I don't want to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to coach. I'm going to help Clarkie out. It's just been flipped that I'm playing the night before and Clarkie must be thinking I'm stabbing him in the back.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way it would be perceived as.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, so, it would do, yeah, naturally.
And if it, I can imagine he thought about it as well. And if it was me, I'd be thinking, hold on a minute.
Yep.
But throughout my, for the next four or five games we played, all out of my mind, he's thinking I'll stab him in the back. And that just killed me.
It don't matter how many times you would have told him, look, I've not done anything or said anything.
It killed me. Mentally, it killed me. And that's why I just didn't want to play football.
Right, okay.
So, yeah. And then you get into goalkeeping and Chris brought somebody else in and he played a youngster. And I think, yeah, thanks. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just thought, thanks. You actually done me a favour there, mate.
Yeah.
I was about 35, 36. I didn't properly retire till about 40.
Yeah.
I was on the bench a couple of times.
Yeah.
But it was a token. If I would have got on, I would have cried.
Really? Yeah. Hey. Obviously, but you must have still loved the day-to-day aspect, but just you'd just lost the love for playing the matches.
Yeah, 100%. Like the coaching, the training. I used to, when I come back from Africa and Chris Wilder got me the call, I was buzzing. I thought, right, what, you want me as a number two goalkeeper?
Yeah.
I've not really been a number two.
Yeah, you haven't, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I've lost my place a few times, like me and Cuts and all that. But I was like, this is different. It's a different role. Completely different role, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You're like, I'm getting paid to enjoy myself. Yeah. So there's no pressure. I had a nice time. And then the role changed, really. So, but even now, like coaching, still great. Good fun.
Yeah.
Goalkeepers are a different breed, aren't they?
That's what I was going to, obviously.
Different people.
We're different because we work so differently.
Yeah.
But like, it don't matter if you're the youth team goalie, a second choice, an established first team, or the coach. When you're training, like the banter and like the camaraderie that we have, it's unreal.
Oh, yeah, it's different. People don't understand it. Like, outfielders can't understand it because they don't work hard.
Yeah.
Do they? They don't work hard compared to a keeper.
They'll argue with each other over something stupid. But in a goalkeeping training session, we could be together for an hour.
Yeah.
And there's not one argument.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I've never been involved in a training session my whole career where the goalkeepers are arguing with each other in that session.
No.
But you go into an outfielder session and everybody doing possession or small side of game and they're arguing with each other, shouting at each other, abusing each other.
It's ridiculous.
But we've never done that.
No.
So like you can tell that our camaraderie is so different.
You're right. I've never really thought about it like that. Like in 31 years, I've never, like say, never encountered an argument.
No.
Don't get wrong. People, there'd be some keepers who get pissed off with service.
Yeah, service or something. But then that's understandable because you're driving the session.
Yeah.
But you've never actually like once like mugged somebody off or like had a go at them or it's like come into like personal comments.
No.
I've never seen it in goalkeeping.
I think you're just supporting each other, aren't you?
Yeah.
You understand if this guy makes a decent save.
Yep.
That's a decent
save. Good save, yeah.
That's it. That's all you can do, isn't it? And if they're going through a bad time, you normally get one of the experienced keepers turn around and goes, "Oh, listen, take a step back.
Yep.
Rejig it.
Yeah.
You'll be okay. Don't worry. It happens.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you say, especially if a goalkeeper goes down. Like you say it to the girls, goes, "Listen, you're going to let goals in.
Part of the job,
100% accurate. You're going to let goals in.
Part of the job.
The better you deal with it, the better you'll become.
So did you start doing your badges then as you knew you was transitioning?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So we ended up doing my life should be go through all the badges and the A's. I found them difficult.
Yeah.
Only because
it's not as realistic to goalkeeper.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't go, they're great and I can imagine they're even better now.
Yep.
But I didn't think some of them related to first team football.
Yep.
Goalkeeping.
Just keeping the ball out of the net.
Yeah. Like, I understand the process and everything like that, but when you, they don't really count for when when the goalkeeper's lost a parent or something like that, or and then he's got to play, how's his mindset and that.
Yep.
It's that, you don't really bring that into your badges. It's all, it's a driving test, isn't it?
Yep. So. Well, I was saying earlier on, obviously, about like you doing the social media stuff, you've also set up a few goalkeeping academies, haven't you? And they've been really successful, and like you've branched out into different areas.
Yeah. So me and Eastie, he got together because he's like the tightest man in the world. We both had goalkeeper schools. So I've had mine for a few years. He's just started his. He goes, "Why don't you join them together?" Like, all right, cool. So we end up, we've got about 12, and we're looking to widen out.
Yep.
So it's about 150, 200 keepers there.
That's incredible, though.
It's great, especially because Eastie's still playing.
Yes.
And me getting the England jobs, like really, especially with the girls, because we've got to open a girls' side now.
Yep.
It's
what the parents' perception of having an actual goalkeeper and a goalkeeper coach and an ex-goalkeeper that's so established in their fields.
Yeah.
They're treated differently than somebody that's just done their badges from off the street.
Well, that's it, yeah, because majority of people, what they've done there, football level 2, haven't they?
Yep, 1 and 2.
And they get their initials on there.
Yeah,
badge, so
yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
But look, you've got a goalkeeper coach, obviously, for England. You've got a professional goalkeeper who's playing. He must be racking up about 350 now.
Yeah.
He's going through his badges. Not many more qualified in the country than that.
Yes.
So, be fair, it's been tough for us because we've been here, there, and everywhere. But once you get ahead on it, branch out.
There's
a few. Southampton will be coming up soon. So
yeah.
Do you
still manage to get around to all the academies? Or?
Not all of them.
Oxford, you have other people running them and stuff like that.
Yeah. But that's, when you go there, like, you just see people, they're like, "Oh, that Wayne's here," or Simon's here, especially with Simon, because he's a bit of an Oxford legend.
Yep.
And, "Oh, Simon's here." Or you get a little comment, "Oh, you turned up today, did you?"
Yeah. I can imagine those comments, but I also imagine that it also then drives the standard again when you do turn up.
Yeah, straight away. You don't even have to, have to stand there.
Yeah, you just stand there and talk to the parents almost. And
it's like
around.
A good manager, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You know, we don't have to do anything on the training pitch. It's all done.
To say anything.
No.
But I remember Graham Turner at Hereford. He never come on his pitch, really. But when he did, everybody was like, "Ah, boom." Or Chris Wilder, everybody was on Tenderhook, right? Quite impressed now.
Yeah.
So, but that's a knack, isn't it?
Yeah. Right. And then how's it, obviously, being a day-to-day goalkeeper coach at Oxford, and you did that for quite a long time anyway.
12 years.
To do that for 12 years, but then to then obviously go into the international scene with the under-23 Lionesses must be a complete contrast in your coaching style and also the way that you run sessions and...
Completely different in a positive way.
Yeah.
To even to the point where on match days I've only got 32 minutes, something like that.
Yep.
So they time the walk from the change room to the pitch.
And that's included in the warm-up and
that's
stuff
included
like that.
In the warm-up. So I've got two girls chatting. I goes, "Get your asses in warm-up because we need to get going."
Yep.
Like that. But it's changed my thought processes on actually warm-ups.
Yep.
So... Whereas, I don't know what you, it's like, "I used to do an hour."
Oh, I don't. I really don't.
No, I was younger, I need to get everything in. But when I went to Africa, I'm thinking, well, because it's baking hot
anyway,
just hands and catches. Ice. But the girls are like, I goes, "What do you want?" "Oh, yeah, anything, don't worry about it." "What?" So I'm just doing a couple of volleys, And they're fine with it. And we were in the 30 minutes. And me being with Eastie, he had to get cover everything. I'm thinking, these girls, they ain't covered anything here. Yeah. By the way, they've just got a couple of catches, a bit of crossing, a bit of kicking. And they've gone in.
Yeah.
And they performed really well. So there's something in it.
Yeah.
So
I'm one of the ones that I think less is more. I think as long as mentally I'm in a good place, as long as my hands are like, to be fair, I reckon I could play a game without a warm-up. I don't think it would bother me at all.
I look at it now, yeah.
But I've worked with goalkeepers and they do more in the warm-up than they do in a training session on a Friday. And I'm like, that for me is like you've exerted all your energy and then the come down will be...
counterproductive.
Yeah, so obviously your warm-up's meant to get you to optimal for kickoff. And I found that some would like peak too soon and then they'll be on the way down to then kick off again. I was like, I can't work this out. Like, so I like to just take my time in a warm-up.
I get that.
Mine's very leisurely and it's like, I'll cover everything, but just within my own tempo. And I like to go and sit inside for 10, 15 minutes before kickoff.
See, I never used to do that.
But I like the quiet space in the dressing room. And I always say this about goalkeepers, we're so strong mentally on our own. So like we all love doing endurance sports on our own, or we like going in the gym on our own. We don't like socialising almost within a whole group.
That's amazing when you say that, because my missus says, oh, you're not very social. I goes, well, I am, like within my group.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to stand in the middle of, I couldn't think of anything worse, standing in a massive group, like trying to chat to people. Like, not my
ball
game.
But think about your job for 500, 600 games. You stood at one end of the pitch, not speaking to anyone for 90 minutes and just speaking to yourself.
Yeah.
So like and looking at other people shouting and rambling around and like chasing each other.
Mental mind.
And we would always stand on the outside. So I think that goalkeeper, I always say this on this on the pod, but like goalkeepers mentally, we're so different because we can do that. And I've always found that, like, and I've said it before, but like we like going in the gym on our own and we'll be more efficient in the gym on our own than if you put us in the team setting. It's totally different.
Because you end up getting annoyed as well.
And you get annoyed. You're wasting time, you're waiting on stuff. We're goalkeepers, we're impatient almost.
Oh, yeah. And you want to do it right as well, don't you? Because most goalkeepers are perfectionists.
That's it, yeah.
So, but no, I totally get you on your social side and, you know, mentally strong. Blimey. Like, you ask a normal human being, go on and stand in front of 50,000 people when you're having a bad game and you want the ground to open up against you, what are you going to be doing?
Yeah,
on your next... They call it moments now, don't they?
Yeah.
Your next moment.
Yeah.
I was like that.
Oh. A lot of people go under.
Massively. And it's so easy to go under.
Is that a lot of, obviously what you're saying about the Lionesses, do you find that they mentally are so different than working with the men's game?
I think they're a little bit more social.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in a nice way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're all together. But they're the cream of England, aren't they?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So they come together. And what we said to the, when I went into it, my first one, I go, listen, just enjoy it. You've got no pressure on coming to England. Your pressure's in your football club. That's where you earn your money.
Yep.
Right. This is just enjoy your sessions. If you don't like them, tell me.
Yeah.
And I adjust it. So yeah, and they were good as gold.
Yeah.
And I think it took a lot of pressure off them.
Yep.
And we actually got some decent feedback from them saying, oh, it's just nice to come into a camp where it's your keeper coach knows his stuff and is relaxed.
Yep.
And all that. So.
Is it different driving those sessions? Because obviously, like, even from speaking to you so far, like, you use the group to drive their own sessions and, like, that competition aspect.
It's more from me.
Yes, that's what I wonder. I did wonder.
Yeah. And you got, like, right, you got push. Like, and even to the point where if you're catching, I want you to react.
Yep.
And you got to do things you got to do in the game
at match tempo and how you would in a match, like second saves and stuff like that.
And obviously you got to like tone it down a little bit as well, because completely two different bodies, aren't they? You know what I mean?
So like service wise you've got to take some off it, well, or adapt
to
the session.
To a point. But you've also got to think about, we don't train as much as you would at Oxford. We have probably 35 minutes.
Oh right, okay.
And then I'm more of a set piece coach.
It's crazy, really.
And
that's the new goalkeeper coach's role, though, isn't it?
I don't get it, though.
Yeah.
Honestly.
They'll have, like, an assistant manager and a first-team coach sat there, but the goalie coach is the one doing all the set pieces.
And you've got to juggle coaching the keepers.
Yeah.
You've got to stop his keeper session to do the set pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
What's that all about?
Yeah.
Don't make sense.
It's weird, isn't it? On a Friday, you normally get the goalie coach trotting up the other end of the pitch to take the set pieces, when, leaving two or three goalies behind in a goal.
And it's awful, isn't it?
Yeah,
and you feel
strange.
Guilty as a keeper coach. Oh, sorry, boys.
Yeah.
I've got to do this.
Yeah.
And they're like, just doing tippy-tappy with their hands.
Yeah.
But even, like with the England, obviously, we got lots of time to prepare. I've got a month to prepare for set pieces.
Yep.
But I couldn't imagine doing it Tuesday, Saturday. That would just be an absolute mind wreck.
Yep.
And I, like you say, I don't get it. You've got assistant. You've probably got three coaches and the manager.
Yep.
What are these three doing?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but I think it's because of, obviously, especially the defending set pieces.
Yeah.
Each goalkeeper's slightly different, aren't we? How we like our setups, and we don't like letting in goals. So I suppose there's no one better to tell the outfielders how to not.
No, you're right.
To keep us quiet, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like with the England, I've enjoyed doing it with the England girls because they're like, they take it to the point.
Yep.
They don't budge. So if you say stand there, they don't.
They're standing there, take it literally. Yeah,
they're brilliant.
That's good though.
And they're so receptive.
Yeah.
And so I've been like overwhelmed with like their work rate and just their intelligence, really, because they're a lot of them middle class girls.
Yep.
Educated and all that. So. But it's like we bring in, you've had the Iron Bars, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So some of them never heard of that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, that's been around years.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
So you sound like Iron Bars.
Yeah.
And just then it clicks in.
Oh, right, yeah.
Tennis balls.
Trigger points and
stuff. Yeah, you know, like tennis balls.
Yeah, yeah. We'll
give them all tennis balls, whoever's blocking.
Yep.
Not allowed to run past your arms.
Yeah.
Not allowed to grab them, so they're holding these tennis balls.
Yeah.
It's just a little gimmick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I'll do it. If I was asked to do set pieces, I'd do the exactly same I'd do with the girls with the blokes now.
Yep.
So
that's good then.
So it's been a proper learning curve, and I've probably learned more with England than I have in 4 or 5 years with Oxford.
Yeah.
Goalkeeping wise.
But do you think that's also because of the growth of the women's game that you're adapting your roles obviously to cater for both?
Yeah.
And then that's obviously re-educating yourself.
100%. 100%, because I was a little bit wary of thinking, well, if it's such a PC world now, if you say something untoward, you know what I mean?
By accident.
Yeah. Like even swearing or anything like that, are they going to take offence? Or it's the same as blokes or young kids now, would they take offence? But no, don't mind me swearing, yeah?
No,
I mean, girls, they're like, they're the worst in the world for swearing.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think, okay, I'm all right now.
I remember Darren Ward saying on here that like the first thing that he shouted in one of the practice games was man on, and a few of the girls gave him stick for it. And you think, oh, that's the most perfect way for them to like initiate him almost.
Icebreaker, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, when I first did my presentation, like massive screen in Norway, I'm like, wow, this presentation is not my best. Because I'm a little bit geeky now, I've got into it. But I goes, all right, guys, how you doing? Like that. And straight away, I'm thinking, guys, that's not going to work. And they just start laughing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't mind getting called guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. I go, listen, if I say anything, I don't mean anything by it.
Yeah.
But they're good as gold.
So with the like you're saying, the geeky stuff, obviously you said you was doing your own editing before. Did you find that the analysis side and breaking down that goalkeeper's performance is one of your favourite things to do?
It is with England,
yeah,
because you didn't really have much time to do it with Oxford.
Yes.
Because it's relentless. But
when you're playing Tuesday, Saturday, you can't constantly pick out the bones of every game, can you?
No, because you deflate your goalkeeper,
yes,
don't you? And if I keep saying, right, we've got a meeting Thursday morning, you'd be like, come on, Brownie.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Can we just not get a game going? But with the girls, so I've learnt sports code whilst I was with England, obviously keynote presentations and all that. I was on the train today just doing some sports coach stuff. I'm thinking, it took me a while to learn it, but it's just another bow to your
Yeah, exactly. That's what, like, obviously the way that the game's changing, but obviously being involved in the women's game, like, you're almost changing your perception of how goalkeeping is anyway and goalkeeper coaching.
100%, yeah.
Do you think you'll be, if you go back into the men's game soon, that it will change the way you do things?
Massively.
Yeah.
For the better as well.
Yeah.
Just the way you approach things. Like sometimes you plan goalkeeping session, of course you do at men's. But there's sometimes you've got to wing it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, of course, yeah.
And you've all been with all coaches. Done it, yeah.
100%.
I've seen coaches like that. This is going tits up massively. And they straight away, they go bang.
Yeah.
And change it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think, oh, okay.
Know how to adapt it straight away.
Exactly what's going on.
Yeah.
So, and I've been with goalkeeper coaches who keep going at it. And I think, gosh, you're killing us here.
Yeah.
But no, 100%. Better goalkeeper coach.
Yeah. What do you reckon's next for you then?
I don't know yet. I'd like to go full time with England.
Yes.
But if an opportunity come in the men's game, yeah, I'll go for that.
Yeah.
Or abroad.
Oh, excellent. Right. Before we wrap up then, I always finish on this question, Brownie.
Okay.
Right? It's deep and it doesn't have to be deep, but it's what does the goalkeepers union mean to you? I think we spoke about most of it, to be fair.
Yeah, you know what it means to the world? I don't think people realise even... Like now, it's the first time I've really met you, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We've spoke after games and said hello before games and that before.
But I think you've always got that unity of like the whole... Even like coaches who are coaching youngsters who you never even spoke to, you could have a chat with them.
Yep.
So I think it means the world. It means the world to me because like... Most of my friends are goalkeepers. I haven't got a lot of friends who are outfielders. Got maybe one or two.
Because we're goalies.
That's it. We all know we're all a little bit different. You know what I mean? And we can know how to have a good time. But what goal community mean? Honest bunch of people.
Yeah.
Who you could say, so especially my goalkeepers, right? You can literally look in their soul and they'll tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well... That's a perfect relationship, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
If they could tell you what shit's happening in their life, and you could hold it to them and not say it to anybody else, then that's a perfect world for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Just good people.
I totally agree, mate. That's why goalies are the best.
Yeah.
Right. Massive thank you anyway for coming on,
bro. I enjoyed it.
It's been a class episode. Just want to say a massive thank you to our two sponsors, Mito Red Light and also Forged Irish Stout. They really do help the podcast grow. This has been the Yours Mine Away podcast with me, Mark Howard. Please make sure you like and subscribe. Thanks a lot, guys.
What a save from Mark Howard.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at Aura.com/safety. That's AURA.com/safety.